Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, The Gopi Search for Krishna, Text Number 39. Hanataramanaprishtha Kwasi Kwasi Mahabhuja Dasyaste Kripanayame Saketa Shaya Sanidhim Anataramana Prishta Kwasi Kwasi Mahabhuja Dasyaste Kripanayame Saketa Shaya Sanidhim. Nata, Master, Ramana, Lover, Preshta, Dimas, Kwaasi, Kwaasi, where are you?
Where are you?
Mahabhuja, O mighty armed one, Dasyaha, to the maid servant. Te, your Kripanaya, wretched,
me,
Sake, O friend, Darshaya, please show
Sanidhim,
your presence. She cried out, O Master, my lover, O dear most, where are you? Where are you? Please, O mighty armed one, O friend, show yourself to me, your poor servant. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the following moving exchange. Radha says, my Lord, I am being burned in the great fire of separation from you, and my life is about to leave my body. Even with the greatest endeavour, I cannot maintain my life. But you are the Lord of my life. And so you can quickly save me simply by glancing upon me. Please do so immediately. I beg you to save my life, not for my sake, but rather for yours. After giving up all the other gopis, you've brought me so far to a secluded place in the forest just to enjoy special pleasure with me. If I die, you will not be able to find conjugal happiness anywhere else. You will remember me and thus lament in your sorrow. Krishna replies, so let me become unhappy. What does that matter to you? But you are most dear to me. I will feel your unhappiness millions of times more than you. Even if I have already died, I still will not be able to tolerate the pain that even one spot on the nails of your lotus feet may experience. Indeed, to prevent such pain, I am ready to throw my life away millions and millions of times. So kindly show yourself and drive away that unhappiness. But if your life air is on the verge of leaving your body, what can I do to stop that? Simply by the touch of your arms, which are a medicinal herb with the power to revive the dead, my body will return to its healthy, normal condition, and my life air will automatically come back and remain in my body. But you know the forest path yourself without my help, so why did you order me? The king's son and a very young and gentle boy who is to be respected Why did you command, take me wherever you wish? Why do you anger me like this? Radha cries out, please show yourself to your wretched maidservant. Be merciful to me. Be merciful. When I ordered you, I was overcome by sleepiness. I was so tired from playing with you. Therefore, please excuse what your poor servant said. Please don't be angry. It was only because you treated me like such a close friend, though I am unworthy, that I spoke like that to you. All right, my love, I am very pleased with you, so please come to me. But I've been blinded by lamentation. I can't see where you are. Please tell me where you are. No, I know that you want to give class on this particular verse. Let's read on, shall we? Sri Shukuru Vacha Anvichantyo Bhagavato Margam Gopyo Viduritaha Tadrushu Priyavishlesham Mahitam Dukkitam Sakim. Sukadeva Goswami said, while continuing to search out Krishna's path, the gopis discovered their unhappy friend close by. She was bewildered by separation from her lover. Taya katitam akanya mana praptim cha madhavat avamanam cha duratmyad vismayam paramam yayuhu. She told them how Madhava had given her much respect, but how she then suffered dishonour because of her misbehaviour. The gopis were extremely amazed to hear this. Purport, it was natural for Radharani to ask Krishna to carry her, for this request was consistent with the loving mood of their relationship. Now, however, in great humility, she describes her behaviour as wicked. Hearing of these affairs, the other gopis are astonished. Om Agyanati Medandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mutam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. There is another reason why Krishna has left Radharani. One of the things that attracts Krishna to Radharani is her shyness. And her coy nature. Do you know what I mean by coy? Coy is an interesting word. She's very, very often, as described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this section, she's very often shy and reserved, and she resists Krishna's advances. Right? No, don't near me. Stay away. Right? So that's very attractive. Because it's contrary to the nature of, well, it's not contrary, it's supportive of the nature of loving affairs. But when a girl says, no, 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 don't come near me, but the boy knows that actually, because, you know, by the exchange of glances and the talking, there's an obvious attraction, right? Krishna's attracted to Radharani's beauty and Radharani and the rest of the gopis are all attracted to Krishna's beauty. So even though she's shy, at the same time she can't stop looking at him. Right. So you know, when a girl is always looking at a boy, but then she's saying, no, 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 stay away from me, then he knows that actually she's attracted to me. Right? She knows she's... He knows she's attracted to me. She likes me, even though she's saying, no, 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 no. She said, by her other behaviour, she's saying, yes, yes, yes. Right? That's very attractive to Krishna. It's attractive to anyone if you have a very beautiful girl who's looking at you. It's very difficult to resist. So, and you're attracted to them. This is the nature of loving, of the rasa, or the nature of loving affairs. But now, what's happened is that Radharani has given up that shyness, that coy character, that coy nature. There's no more resistance, right? And so, with the lack of resistance, then Krishna is not so... She's now given up the shyness. She's becoming familiar with Krishna, right? Becoming familiar. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it's not as attractive as the coy, Nate, you know, stay away from me. Externally stay away. Now she's completely, you know, falling back on Krishna. And once he's taking advantage of him. Yes, now you can pick me up and carry me wherever you like. So then when she leans back, Krishna says, yes, you know, lean on my shoulder, then he disappears. Gone. So then what happens? Then basically Radharani has a meltdown. This is what you could call it, a meltdown, basically. Emotionally now she's given herself completely to Krishna. Because she's always giving herself, but it completely, all reservation, all barriers of social or behaviour which is protective, actually, protective behaviour, if you like. She's dropped all barriers, all resistance, and then Krishna's just disappeared. And then immediately, it mentions here in the previous verse. Antadadhe Krishna Tatas Chantadadhe Krishna. Krishna disappeared. Savadhur Anvatapyata. Then his consort, Anvatapyata, felt great remorse, great pain. And then she's praying here to Krishna. Ha Nata, O Master, O my lover, Preshta, my dearmost lover, my dearmost friend, Kwa Asi, where have you gone? Kwa Asi, Kwa, Kwa. It's interesting, the K. Precedes a question. Kwasi, Kwasi, is like question. Ku, same thing, question. Kwasi, Kwasi, Mahabhuja, O mighty armed one, O my protector, my lord, my dearmost lover. I am your servant. Kripanaya, with no mercy, right? Kripana, wretched. I have no mercy. Please be kind to me. Sakke dasaya sanginim. Please show me your presence. Please be present before me. Then we get this. Then we get an opportunity. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us an opportunity to, he gives us some insight into the depth of Radharani's emotions and Krishna's dealings with her emotions. And it's interesting because all of the residents of Vrindavan actually feel these feelings of separation. It is manifest to the deepest degree and to the greatest extent in the relationship between the gopis and Krishna. But all of the residents of Vrindavan at some point in time or another feeling great separation from Krishna. And so they all feel this pain. Of Krishna is their life and soul. He's their raison d'être, reason for existence. And without Krishna, then they just feel like dying, practically speaking. He's their life force. He's their sometimes called pranana, right? He's the life of the devotees, the Lord of their life. And so when Radharani has such close association, she's achieved the goal, if you like, but then he just disappears, and it's shattering, heartbreaking, heartrending. And so therefore she feels that without Krishna, she's going to die. That's what she's saying here. I'm being burned in the great fire of separation, and I'm about to die. Although it's interesting to note that her mood is, and always throughout, is actually to please Krishna. So even here it's just mentioned. How will you enjoy without me? Of course Krishna replies, let me become unhappy without you. What do you care anyway? So Radharani is the emblem of all of the devotees' love and affection, especially the gopis. So the gopis are thinking at this stage, oh, Radharani's so lucky, she's now alone with Krishna. She's the best of all of the gopis. She's now alone with Krishna, enjoying with him, which she deserves. But then they come across Radharani also in the same condition as they are. So it's a surprise to find Radharani is experiencing exactly the same feelings of lamentation and loss as they were. As I mentioned yesterday, this is a prelude, if you like. This is the introduction to the Rasa dance, where the full satisfaction of the desires of the gopis and of Krishna is manifest. The sambhoga, or the complete perfection of loving exchanges, are manifest. But they can be only experienced in full, as described by Rupa Goswami, They can only be experienced in full when there's been a separation. Right? We were discussing yesterday that there are three exchanges of vipralamba. The first one is where there is attraction, but there hasn't been any meeting. There's no meeting, but there's attraction. Just like a boy and a girl see each other, and then they're attracted. Oh, she looks nice. Oh, he looks good. So there's attraction, but they're still separated. And then when they see each other talking to somebody else, then that heightens the feeling. It's like if a boy likes a girl, but then she's talking to another boy, or a girl likes a boy, and he's talking to another girl, and she gets, oh, what's going on here? Some jealousy arises, so that heightens. That's still separation, though they haven't met. But then, the separation after having met is more intense. It's the highest level of separation. So that the exchange of sambhoga or complete enjoyment in the conjugal rasa can't be fully experienced until there's been meeting, separation, and then meeting again, coming together. So that's what's happening here. They're meeting, they've been separated, and then they'll come back again together, after having experienced the separation, after meeting. Those who are experts in the science of rasa have explained it in this way. So then, she's speaking to the gopis and then she's explaining how Krishna had been picking flowers for her and decorating her hair and doing all of these things for her, but then she became, this next verse, Taya katitam arkanya mana praktim cha madhavas arvamanam cha dorat myad vismayam paramam yayu dorat myad means bad attitude, right? Duratma, I am a bad person, right? So Radharani is saying Krishna's left me because I am such a bad person. Gopi said, what, you're the bad person? How can you be a bad person? But that's how she's feeling. Krishna's left me because I'm so bad. In our case, Krishna's definitely left us because we're bad. Actually, we left Krishna. But in the case of Radharani, this is surprising. She told them how Madhava had given her much respect, but how she then suffered dishonour because of her misbehaviour. The gopis were extremely amazed to hear this. Purport. It was natural for Radharani to ask Krishna to carry her, for this request was consistent with the loving mood of their relationship. As I mentioned yesterday, she was thinking, Krishna hasn't slept all night, and it wouldn't be good for him not to have some rest. So let us go to some secluded place in the forest where we can take rest. That's what she was thinking. That was her mood. So it was in service. But she was also thinking, yes, Krishna, you can carry me. What, you know, she's thinking there's some fault in my, although it's mentioned here. This is not inconsistent with the relationship. But of course Krishna wanted to see Radharani and the gopis in feeling great separation from him. That gives Krishna great pleasure to see the love of. In fact, you know, this is the key to Lord Chaitanya's appearance, right? When you think about it. This is the key to Lord Chaitanya's appearance, because Krishna is so attracted to the mood of the gopis in their affection for him, he's thinking, what is it that they see in me? Right? When you think about it, right? These pastimes are the impetus for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Because he's thinking, what is it that they feel in me? What are they experiencing that makes them behave in this way? These are the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Krishna wanted to relish the same mood that the gopis were, because he couldn't feel it, because he's the Ashraya, isn't it? Ashraya Vigraha. Then he can't feel the same mood as the, here, what is it? Nata. Hey, Nata. Yeah, he's the object. He's the object of their love. So he can't, as the object of their love, he can't feel the same mood of love that the gopis are feeling. So being attracted by that and wanting to understand what is it that Radharani sees in me, what nectar is she tasting, what pleasure is she tasting in relishing me, so therefore he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relish the same mood that the gopis were feeling. So attractive. So here, Radharani is demonstrating that love, affection for, even though her love for Krishna is spotless, right, it's described, Bhujan Prabhu mentioned, if you take gold and you melt it down and then take out all the impurities, and then melt it down again and take out all the impurities, and then melt it down again and take out all the impurities, and do that 100 times. In other words, you can't get the gold any more pure than it could possibly be. Then that's the mood of service that Radharani demonstrates in service, in loving and serving Krishna. So there's no question of her being duratmyat or duratma. There's no question of her being a duratma. Right? No question of it. Her mood is always to please Krishna. So therefore the gopis are shocked, amazed to hear this, that Krishna's left Radharani. Because they're chastising Krishna. You're probably in the bushes somewhere just enjoying the fact that we're all grief-stricken and heartbroken. So then the gopis searching further for Krishna. Tato vishan vanam chandra jyotsna yavad vibhavyate tama pravishtam alaksha tato nivavitu striyaha. In search of Krishna, the gopis then entered the depths of the forest as far as the light of the moon shone. But when they found themselves engulfed in darkness, they decided to turn back. Purport. The gopis entered a part of the forest so dense that even the light of the full moon couldn't penetrate it. This scene is also described in the Vishnu Purana. Pravishto gahanam krishna padam matra nalakshate nivartam kam sasankasya naitam didhiti gocharaha. One gopi said, Krishna has entered such a dark part of the forest We cannot possibly see his footprints. Therefore, let us turn back from this area where even the light of the moon cannot reach. So they're really... in the depths of the forest. Don't might finish. There's definitely a class in the next purport. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Jitendra. Tackle them?
Yeah, how should we tackle them? Either we should tolerate the disturbances?
That is recommended.
Yeah, or we should face the problems and find a solution for them. Or we just, the third way of interacting with them is we just consider them as a source of Krishna to move us close to Krishna.
Well, all of the above, and possibly a few more. Well, we've just done the section in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains that you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, you're the permanent feature in everything, and the material world is a place of temporality, asat, it is impermanent. So this is the nature of the relationship. You are permanent, the material world is impermanent, so it's always going to change. Don't become attached to things of the material world because they're going to disappear. Right? Every single one of them is going to disappear. So whatever we become attached to in the material world, it will cause you pain. Right? Adhyanta vanta kunteya na teshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't seek pleasure in things of the material world. Why not? Adi, they have a beginning, and anta, they have an end. Right. So we become attached to things of the material world, and then what happens? They let us down. Right. So, matraspa sastakuntaya situs na sukadukadaha. Agama payano nichas, tongues to tichas vaparata. One has to tolerate. So the first thing is we have to tolerate. And we were discussing this the other day. Atul Krishna Prabhu was making that point. You know, you faithfully serve your belly, fill it up 2 or 3 times a day. Does it ever let you off? No. Right? It's not that, you know, you wake up one morning and the belly says, okay, you don't have to feed me today. Have a holiday. Long service leave for good service. So mind and the senses are always, it was a good point he was making, vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, there's always these pushings, the pushing of the mind, the pushing of the urge to speak, the pushing of the genitals, the pushing of the belly, pushing of anger, there's all these things, frustration, so we're being pushed all the time. So do we give in to those things? Well, you can, but then what happens? We suffer. So, whichever way we go, there's some suffering. Recommended that we tolerate. So tolerance is very important. Now, that doesn't mean that we just tolerate every single thing that happens to us. There are things that we can do, right? So, you know, for the devotees, we enhance our ability to tolerate the pushings of the material energy by engaging in positive action. Right? It's not that we just tolerate everything. Okay, I'll just, you know, let it bash me. Boom, 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 and I'll just tolerate. Right? No, there are positive things that we can do, engagements, if you like, and that's what devotional service is all about. We have to act. You can't stop action and reaction, alright? So there's certain amount we have to tolerate, but there's also positive things that we can do in Krishna consciousness, right? So, so many positive things. Get up early, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deities, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, all of these things actually alleviate the sufferings of material existence. Look, just like, what do the gopis do? We're going to discuss this. What do the gopis do when they couldn't see Krishna? They started to chant Hare Krishna. Right? And so even though they're feeling separation from Krishna, that separation is assuaged by the fact that they can remember Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, it's like being with Krishna. Right? So, you know, in one sense, we're in the material world, we're feeling separation from Krishna, because we're suffering from the material point of view, slightly different, or not vastly different from the separation the gopis are feeling from Krishna. But we can feel relief from that by engaging in devotional service. And so actually by engaging in devotional service, then what do we feel? Well, we feel that we're with Krishna. Actually, we are with Krishna, just we've forgotten. So there are positive things that we can do. Not that we just tolerate. There's a certain amount of tolerating the material inconveniences, but there's also the positive engagements in devotional service. Or say, for example, you know, you're feeling the pinch of not having any money, right? So what do? Go and get a job. Pretty straightforward. Do something. We've got to do something. You know what I mean? So we're not just lamenting. We're also doing. Well, so we have to identify what is the right thing to do. This is where the devotees, the spiritual master, you know, the senior, devotees who are more advanced, if we have some difficulty in working out what to do, well, it's not hard to work out what to do, but if we're having some difficulty, then we can get advice from the devotees. And then, you know, and according to our nature and according to our current status, we act for our purification.
I was just considering the point Krishna is telling to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2.
Mm.
That he tells that if you are not fighting and you are thinking that they will think you are as a compassionate soul, but
yeah.
They will think you as a
coward. Yeah.
And you are running out of fear. So is Krishna making the point that we should face our problems and not run away from them?
I suspect so. I never run away, you know, I've tried running away from my problems, but they keep, actually they're ahead of me. They beat me. They got their, you know, there's a Bengali saying, goes something like, you know, wherever you go, your forehead gets there first. I don't know what the Bengali is. I've heard Prabhupada say this. Wherever you go, your forehead gets there first. In other words, you may think that you're running away from yourself, but you're still there. In fact, you got there before you did. In other words, you can't escape your karma. You can't escape your I sometimes wonder what it is that I did, you know, to be where I know what I've done, at least in this lifetime. To be out. But what, you know, what did I do? Actually, it's interesting, Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam, that we can know to a degree what we were doing in our past life. Based on what we're doing now, what we're experiencing now, pretty much is not going to be very, 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 very much different. Because the samskaras, the impressions are all there. So, how to deal with those things? First of all, we have to tolerate the fact that we've born into a particular body with a particular set of emotional and, you know, desires, basically. All of which are, you know, usually superfluous to us. And I need to surrender myself to the Master, serve Krishna, through serving the Guru, to overcome all of these things. Right?
One more conclusion I'm not able to make, that Krishna in the nutshell, he wants universal brotherhood, or does he want to have the
kill the demons?
Yeah, good people ruling over the bad people. Does he want universal brotherhood to eradicate all the nuisance in this world? Or does he want to have the spiritual energy to overcome the material energy?
Yes, both. But see, the thing is, brotherhood in the material world is actually a bit of a joke. Right? We want to be together, united in service to Krishna. Right? But there's a few other people who have decided we are not going to surrender to Krishna ever. Krishna doesn't exist, God doesn't exist, it's all a joke. Get real, you guys. Right? They're called demons, asuras. So you have the eternal battle between the devas and the asuras, right? Only in the Kali Yuga they live in the same body. So that, you know, we got the devotees are fighting with themselves, struggling with themselves. We were discussing the other day in the class, you know, the devotees were saying the hardest thing to tolerate is your own mind. Right?
These pastimes are eternal, they're occurring all the time. So when the chariot says that the highest form of prema is God, is it beginning yet?
When the who says?
Well, it's my understanding, my adult understanding. The highest form of Baba Bhakti, right? The highest expression of prema. But that's simply the beginning of a whole range of another day. So it's an unendingly, unlimitedly deepening relationship between Krishna and Manavani. That's it.
Yes.
And I mean, when these pastimes occur, is it the same entity taking those roles?
Yes.
I mean, there's one Manavani and there's one Krishna.
Yes.
And Manavani also multiplied or duplicated or what?
In all of the different universes?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, to all of the above.
Okay.
But don't ask me how they do it.
So that is not exactly accurate. Or is accurate, but it's incomplete.
Well, Krishna's here in Melbourne, Krishna's in Auckland, Krishna's in LA, Krishna's in London, he's in
all the universes.
Yeah. Maharaj was asked, what did Krishna look like in the spiritual world? And he said, oh, here's Radha Gopinath. Looks like Radha Gopinath. He's in Sydney. Probably a silly question. What does Krishna look like? There he is there. That's what he looks like. What does he look like in Melbourne? Radha Balaba. So, what does Krishna look like when you get to the spiritual world? Considering that Krishna is manifest and personally relating to all of the devotees, he's obviously capable of things that you and I are not capable of doing. But he's still manifest. But he has personality, what is it? Angani, yasya sakala, you know, even different parts of his body can do all the same as the other functions. Right? So he can eat with his eyes. It's multifaceted, unlimited, ananta form. So what to do? What to do? The instruction of the Bhagavad Gita to bring us to the point of surrender is tadvad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva dasana. We need to remember ourselves to the Lord, and especially to the spiritual master. That, you know, for the disciple is the focal point of one's service. Now come to that point of surrender, really. We were discussing the other day. Bhagavad Gita teaches us to surrender to Krishna. That's the point that we need to come to. And we do that by rendering service to the spiritual master. Right? Following this order of the guru. And, you know, we do that within ISKCON by following Prabhupada, following his teachings, follow his the principles that he taught and embodied, and we do that specifically by working under the auspices of one of his disciples. As a disciple within his institution, we work with the secular temple authorities, temple managers. This is our sort of this is our siksha parampara, if you like. To ultimately render service to Krishna. We're all rendering service to Krishna in that environment. Right? That's the whole idea. And, you know, our main mission, if you like, is... What's our main mission? Anybody like to say what our main mission is?
Chanting
Hare Krishna.
Spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna.
What's our main mission? What's your understanding? Vasudha Priya? Looking after the child. Main mission. Huh? Looking after the children is not a bad... Prabhupada put emphasis on doing that. That's also important. I was listening to a class yesterday. Prabhupada said, our main business is to introduce Bhagavad Gita as it is. Huh? What do you think? What's the main mission? When you think of main mission, what is it?
To reach Krishna.
To?
To reach Krishna.
Reach Krishna. Yeah.
Reach
the spiritual world. Yeah. Go back home, back to Godhead. What do you think, Keshava? When you think of main mission, you think... Yeah, which is more than one mission. Seven, or, well, actually, even those seven things are permutations of each other, some of them. Combinations and permutations of the same thing. To teach a more simple and natural way of life. Another thing I heard Prabhupada say today, he said, we're not interested in motor cars, we're not interested in aeroplanes, but we take advantage of them. We take advantage of them. But we're detached. Interesting what he said. We'll use all of these things, but whether we have them or we don't have them, we don't mind. Interesting what he was saying. We'll use a computer, but if we don't have a computer, we can use a piece of paper. I don't know if you might have to switch off my computer now. This last few weeks, I just put get rid of that. It just clogs up your brain. A piece of paper and a pen, I find, is very effective. Very powerful piece of... Powerful communication tools. Because, you know, your brain is actually quite functional. The brain actually works quite well. It's been designed to work quite well for a long time. The mind. But we can use communication tools, we'll still use them because they're useful. Right? So it's interesting. All of these activities, there's so many activities that we can engage in to serve Krishna and to fulfil the order of the spiritual master. And to fulfil Prabhupada's mission and to fulfil our mission, go back home, back to Godhead. That's just very interesting. Serving the mission of serving the purposes of ISKCON ultimately serves Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desires. And the external manifestation of that is to preach Krishna consciousness. That was Lord Chaitanya's mission. Externally is to teach the chanting, spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. In other words, spread the process of devotional service. But by doing that, then automatically, internally, we should be, developing. Internally, detaching ourselves from materialism, material consciousness, and becoming more absorbed in consciousness. This is what should be happening in our lives. Of course, you know, as it's explained by Govindadas, the devotee who wrote the prayers, what's the first line? Bhajahu Remana, yeah. You know, my life is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf, right? My life is, you know, it's like, we're like in an ocean of, we're up and down 1 minute, we're up, and then the next minute the wave disappears from under us and crash, down we come. Right? For a minute we're down. So we have to rate those things, right, as we try to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Even in Krishna consciousness, we have our ups. We think, yeah, now I'm making spiritual advancement. I'm finally making some spiritual progress. And then all of a sudden, crash, down we go. We discover, oh no, there's one more attachment, or it's the same old attachment that I thought I got rid of last week. It's back again. Right? These are the pushings of the mind and the senses. And you know, my experience is the pushings of the mind and the senses, they're the same as when I was 15 and 16. 15, 16, 17, 18, it's the same old stuff. It's annoying. So absorb ourselves in this. Absorb ourselves in this. Actually, we were very lucky. It's being demonstrated here, the highest level of devotion to Krishna in Radharani. She's the topmost devotee, but how is she thinking of herself? Kripa Naya. Right? I am the most wretched. I am the most wretched. I am the most fallen. So we need to, you know, absorb, if we can absorb ourselves in these, absorb, understand, and we may not understand, but at least we can absorb and hear these things. Try and gradually improve our Krishna, our mood of service, following the footsteps of the gopis. That's what we want. Ultimately, we want to come to the point of following in the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhaktas. These are the Ragatmika Bhaktas here. These are our examples. Right? We want to follow the residents of Vrindavan and become their servants. Ultimately, that's our goal. Of course, before we can do that, we have to become purified. Pure-hearted. This is good. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.